Hi there, I'm Barry Forward, and welcome to the Reboot Forward podcast. This is the podcast where we take a deep dive into the wonderful world of change, reinvention, transformation, and just plain doing something different. In particular, how it impacts the people who go through that change, what they've learned from their journey through change, and ultimately, what has allowed them to reboot forward. My guest today on the podcast is Esther Hepzibah, culture transformation strategist and leadership development trainer and consultant. Esther describes herself as a human connection catalyst who brings companies and individuals together to tap into their authentic selves to uncover what she calls their superpowers, the hidden talents that, when uncovered and revealed, allow them to shine. Based in Moncton, New Brunswick, Esther has earned a reputation for assessing and resolving a wide range of organizational development, workplace culture, and human capital issues, and she is passionate about advancing women in leadership and creating inclusive cultures. Prior to COVID-19 and the pandemic, she worked with ExxonMobil. She now works as an independent consultant, a certified John Maxwell coach, teacher, and speaker, delivering leadership development training and workshops, keynote speeches, and coaching. Here is my conversation with Esther Hepzibah.
So when I reflect back on where we're coming from, like pre-COVID-19, and I look at where I am right now, and I look at who I'm becoming and I begin to see things differently. I begin to see that I am uncovering or discovering more of the potential that I have on the inside. And so for me, that got me thinking, how did I get here, right? And I see that personal growth has played a huge role in this, giving me a perspective of, that awareness, first of all. I always talk about awareness. You need to be aware first before you can grow yourself. So I think with the COVID-19, it's a big change. It's an unexpected change. People are scrambling. What's next? It's unpredictable. However, when we sit down to reflect, we begin to see that there are opportunities in this difficulty. And that's why I say that it's moving us out of our comfort zone to a creative zone. So take, for example, the Zoom. Right? A lot of people never knew how to use Zoom. But even, my aged grandfather, who is close to 100, knows how to use Zoom now. So I see that it's helping us move out of a comfort zone to a creative zone where we're exploring new opportunities and we're creating new ideas and we're getting used to different.
It's transformation. And I the highs and lows of it are interesting from my perspective. It's like sometimes we're feeling good about it. Sometimes we're feeling tough through it. And I'm just wondering, do you see us moving or yourself moving to a place of positive, digging yourself out of a kind of, oh no, this is happening kind of thing to a growth phase and where you get excited about the future?
As I said, change is an integral part of life, right? It's who you're becoming as a person, and that's growth, right? I feel like for me, change is growth and transformation experience. So even through the COVID-19, I know it's a different, bend. And as I always tell people, it's a storm, right? And we're not in the same boat. That's the honest truth. We're all in different boats, right? We all perceive this differently. However, in the end, if we choose to again reflect, we have the right mindset with people. I call it my support system, people around you like your mentors, accountability partners, thinking partners. You begin to see things from a different perspective. You begin to identify the silver linings in the storm. And that is where you begin to appreciate the value of change, right? It's who am I becoming? What have I gained? I have two children and now they do podcasting as well. They've had 5 episodes. They develop new content themselves, right? This is something they always had on the inside, but it took the COVID-19 to push this out of them, right? To get them into a creative zone where they can think for themselves and they can see things differently.
So you mentioned the value of groups and people and support moving through all of this. I'm just curious as to how you assemble a group. How do you, when something like this is going on, or are these pre-established groups he already had who are just managing a different problem, a challenge?
Well, it's interesting you mentioned that, because for me, I see myself as a human connection catalyst. So that's I call it my superpowers. That's my strength. That's my shine zone. I like to connect people. I like to create safe spaces or platforms. So with COVID-19, I came up with this community called the Arise and Shine Community for Women, where we all celebrate our shine, where we look for the silver linings in this COVID-19. We can't just keep, you know, sitting and moaning about, oh, this is unexpected. You know, this is so evil. But again, being vulnerable in that space, sometimes some people are down, and even myself, sometimes I'm down. But having this kind of community, again, which I just created, I always like to create a space for people. It's collaborating, you know, looking at what are our values, right? What is our mission? What's our purpose? What are our strengths? And complementing each other. So with the COVID-19, I've been able to create three different groups for different reasons. But again, the goal and the purpose to help us uncover what is this potential, what is this creative opportunities that we can find in this pandemic.
You describe yourself in there as a human connection catalyst. Do you see yourself as a convener, the organizer of these groups, obviously? But I'm just wondering, how does that play? I mean, the participant, am I looking for a group? Should I be? How do I find you? How do I find people who I can connect with and who can serve as my human connection catalyst, as you describe it?
I think with daily interactions, right? Again, depending on where you're at in life, like depending on the phase or the season where you're at. For me, I always speak up, right? For example, I connected with you through a platform where you had delivered a webinar. And for me, I connected because I found out that you had so much experience, but again, you were able to come down to my level, right? And then I connected with you. And that's how the connection happens for me. It's, you know, speaking to someone and something connects with you in their conversation, and then you connect with them, and then you say, you know, you talk to someone else, and you begin to, when I started the group, it was just five of us. Now we're about 50, right? So I think it's just one connection after another. You're picking up something that resonates with you, and you continue to build and, you know, spread your shine and helping other people shine brighter as well.
What is it in groups that make them so powerful? What is it that you see when we get together as a collective and five people, let alone 50 people? What can be done to help us through these challenging times or opportunities or shines, as you describe them?
First of all, I always tell them at the beginning of every session we have, or every workshop or event we have when we connect, is this is a safe space, right? Letting people be vulnerable, getting them to know that, you know, I want to learn from you. I want to unlearn some things as well for myself that do not serve me again, and relearn some things. So first of all, I need to let them know this is a safe space. You know, we're all going to be vulnerable. We share ups and downs sometimes, you know, our valleys, like what did not work last week, you know. So it's first of all creating that safe space and letting them know there is no leader per se. We're all leaders in different spaces. We all have our different strengths, right? We want to collaborate our strengths, augment, complement, and, you know, continue to shine. So I think that's the first step that I help them understand. It's safe to share what are you struggling with, right? And being that model as well, like I share what I struggle with and we all laugh about it. We all have fun. It's interactive, it's engaging. But in the end is, you know, the value is what are you learning? What are you unlearning? And what are you relearning?
Your journey to where you are today in Moncton, New Brunswick, Canada, has been one of transformation from coming from African country to North America, setting up shop here, getting your degree here. And I'm just curious a little bit about your story. And, you know, right now it sounds, I want to say, very successful. You've had a successful outcome. What is it about challenge here? Because we're talking challenge here, getting out of our comfort zone and stepping into a challenge. And obviously, you've learned from the challenges you faced, and maybe you can describe them.
So the greatest challenge I think I faced through my big changes, for example, moving from Nigeria to Canada, was expectations or what people would say. Because I remember when I made a decision to quit my high-paying job, I mean, I was getting a six-figure income in Nigeria. I was well-paid, but I decided to resign. And I remember my colleagues and my bosses saying that, you know, one of my colleagues in particular saying that, are you going nuts? Like, are you okay? Like, why would you leave your job like for an unknown world, right? And of course, to be honest, at that point, I didn't know what to say, but I just knew there was something that was out there. I felt I had capped. I didn't want to put a lid on my potential, right? And I knew they couldn't see then, but I was kind of worried about what they expected or what they would say of me. But I took the decision anyway. Fast forward 5 years, I have five of my colleagues in Exxon Nigeria who decided to take the leap as well in, you know, whatever that means for them. But it saw me as that model of change, like that model of transformation. If Esther can do it, then I'm going to give it a shot. I'm going to try it, right? So I think my biggest challenge, you know, was that, was what people would expect. But now that I'm growing and transforming, that's becoming more in the backseat. Now it's more of the value, you know, what can I offer to people? What solution can I bring to help them uncover more of what they have on the inside?
So let's talk a bit about what you do now. You've set up shop in doing your business. What is it that you offer the world? What is your work? What is it that you hope that you can, and the type of client you hope to work with?
So right now, again, I had a big change in February 2020. Just before the COVID-19, where I lost my job. So that was another big change. Again, I was a bit jittery. What's going to happen next? But again, my experience was, you know what? I'm sure there's going to be more out there for me. So currently, I'm a leadership and transformation strategist. I work with individuals and organizations to help them uncover, you know, more potential that they have on the inside. And so what I provide is, you know, unique, sustainable for me doesn't mean it's built to last. Now I call it built to adapt. So I provide unique sustainable means adaptable as well, because with the COVID-19, you can't just have one size fits all. You need to have solutions that's going to be nimble, that's going to keep transforming, you know, and that's what I provide to individuals and organizations using John Maxwell's resources. And I begin to see, you know, results from this experience. For example, I work with youths a lot, where I help them, first of all, to discover who they are and what they have on the inside and how to self-lead, because I believe that leadership starts with you. You need to be able to lead yourself. You need to be able to show that you're growing. Who are you becoming? What are you transforming into before I can actually talk to my clients? So in a nutshell, it's providing that unique, sustainable, in quotes, adaptable transformation solution to my clients.
What is leadership in 2020? What does it look like? Has it changed in the past 6 months? Are we looking for either self-leadership or leadership in a broad scale different than we did, say, 6 months ago?
In my perspective, I saw leadership, you know, in the past 6 months as, again, moving from built to last to built to adapt. And again, it starts with you. So you need to be able to determine, you know, what am I learning? What do I need to unlearn? What are those programming that I have in my, you know, in my mind that might be stopping me from adapting? So I see leadership, you know, right now as evolving from built to last to built to adapt. We have to constantly evolve. We have to constantly find out what's the needs, what's the changing needs. I mean, the needs are changing every day, right? We need to understand, how do I adapt to this changing needs? And that's built to adapt. You can't have a built to last solution or built to last process or system anymore. No, sorry. It has to be built to adapt. And it's constantly changing. And so with personal growth, with self-leadership, with leading other people, you have to continue to adapt your solutions and your processes.
Built to adapt. It sounds to me like we've come full circle. Built to Last was a classic saying before, and now we're building to adapt. Seems to me, and tell me if I'm getting this wrong, this is where we should have been, all along, built to adapt. We're human beings. We grow through growth. We go through change. We just kind of got stuck or something, or we got complacent into how the growth model was going. We could just do the same old day after day and be successful. But that has been changed, or the deck chairs have been shuffled so that we have to look at it really as what we really are as humans, as adapters. And I'm wondering if that you see that as people just kind of, this is something we should have been doing all along.
Yeah, for example, I like to tell with my family, my children, they begin to see things differently right now. They begin to see that, hey, that's a blended approach. We need to adapt to whatever the situation or circumstance has presented us with. Again, taking ownership of what you have control over versus what you do not have control over. Because I think people are scared of changes because you're worried about what if, right? I do not have control over this. But with the COVID-19, again, we're learning, fast that we need to be adaptive. We need to find out what do I have control over. And the ones I do not have control over, find how to, what are the strategies I can explore to adapt to that situation or to that circumstance. And so, again, with different generations, I know the older generations found it really tough, right, to move into the virtual or digital kind of life. But it's always been there, right? It's just that we're not prepared to blend that into our daily life. So I think it's more of a blended approach, right? Some people still prefer the phone call. Some people still want the face-to-face, right? And now we have that blend and that unique mix. And I think that's, adapting and changing.
When you look at individuals who are out there and you see role models, I'll call them, of leaders that are happening throughout this crisis, what do you see that they're doing that's transferable to the rest of us? The successful ones who've managed to take the bull by the horns here and really lead us through this pandemic. I'm just wondering if there's any traits that we could learn from what you're seeing.
There are a couple of leaders that for me really, I'm really gravitating, I gravitate towards. John Maxwell for sure is number one because I see him as the number one leadership expert in the world. He has over 30,000 members across 160 countries. And the reason why people keep following and gravitating towards him is because for him, leadership is influence. No more, no less. And everything rises and falls on leadership. And again, when we talk about leadership, we talk about leading yourself first. So when I'm gravitating towards John C. Maxwell, I look at him leading himself first. And this is, this is kind of an umbrella under which, you have vulnerability, you have been open. He had a lot of leading through crisis sessions. And, one of them, I remembered him breaking down and, just talking about how he really looks forward to having people, lead themselves first before leading other people. For me, that's something that I think a true leader should look like is just being yourself, right? It's leading from your strength zone, but at the same time being vulnerable where people can, can look at you as a model. Another person is Jeff Bezos, the Amazon leader, right? If you look at his business model, again, it was built to adapt. It wasn't built to last, right? And that's why we can see that, most businesses are beginning to shift towards that.
In this day and age, up until COVID, and I'm just up until the whole March of this year, there was a lot of fear of missing out, doing what others were doing. We lived in an Instagram world where influencers were telling us what was good, what was life about. And how do you see, have we shifted? Have we actually got the message that it is important to look at ourselves first and lead from within? Or are we just talking, off the top of her head right now, and it's just we're going to go back to the way it was, which is all this looking at others and saying, hey, I don't have
I'm
that.
I'm not sure we're going to go back to the way it was. I think this is where we should be. I keep telling people say, well, when are things going to go back to normal? And I'm like, can you even define what normal, what's going to look like? No, right? I feel like we need to get used to different. So right now, I still feel that people need to be able to lead themselves first. That is very key. And I'm not sure that people are getting the message. However, the good news is there's an increased awareness, an expanded level of awareness that people are beginning to recognize that, you know what? I need to discover first who I am before I can lead other people, before I can make the difference that I really would like to. And that again comes with being open to change, right? If you're going to lead someone through crisis, you need to find, you know, what's your why? What are you anchored in? What is going to keep you grounded, right? Again, it's not built to last. You're going to be grounded in something to be able to adapt, right? And so you need to find that your support system, your identity, your purpose, your strength, your superpowers, being aware of that, and then you can begin to lead other people. And when I talk about this, this is something I've practically proven. And that's why, you know, when I left Exxon earlier this year, it was from people's perspective, it was again, is she crazy? But I see now that I'm not crazy, right? People are beginning to come to me now, like, you know, they want me to coach them through whatever they're going through. So again, you need to be able to lead yourself first. I always start with, you can't give what you don't have, right? You can't. You need to be able to lead yourself first. You need to be able to test it. And then it begins to help people uncover what they have on the inside as well. And they begin to lead themselves and others.
Well, you know, when I hear this and I the world, changing the world is what you're talking about, because the individual on this whole self-awareness leading from within, it's going to, and I'm just challenging you to kind of dig deep into it, because I agree with you. The question is, how can we have mass adoption of this? Because I think that there's a lot of, it was quite an esoteric idea that, you know, lead from within, self-awareness. What is it going to take for just regular folks to really see this is the way forward to lead themselves through crises, challenges, and their lives?
Well, I think it starts with, again, I'm going to start with myself, because if, okay, so I'm doing this today, right? What if I chose not to, you know, connect with you, right? Then that voice or that message is going to remain on the inside of me. And then how does this make a difference in the world? So now that I've discovered I have that high level of awareness, I'm operating from a higher level of awareness, I need to be able to speak up. I need to be able to connect with people. And that's how, you know, the message keeps going, right? And someone could hear something and pick something, right? And say, oh, okay, maybe I'm doing something that's different. Or maybe I'm doing something that's old and I need to release. Maybe there's a pattern, there's a behavior, or there's a habit that no longer serves me and I'm still walking along that path. How would that help me transform? So I think it all boils down to each of us being able to speak and identifying who are you called to serve. For example, I work with youths a lot, right? And I've seen the transformation, you know, through the COVID-19. I had to bump out of my comfort zone again to creative zone, creating programs that has helped them understand, you know, expand the level of awareness. And I equip them with tools and resources. And now they're running with it, right? When I check on them, you know, they're operating from a different level of awareness. So again, it's when you identify that self-leadership or that self-awareness, you can't stop there. You need to speak up. You need to put your voice out there. Look for people that you're called to serve, people that you're called to add value to, and just do it.
Do you have an example of like a story that you could tell around this? Like, I just to illustrate how this might happen for somebody. You have a recent case that, without, you know, maybe change the names to protect the innocent here?
Sure. All right. So, I'm going to use myself as an example. I think I like that. And I could talk about a client that I had, you know, some years ago. But when I started my journey of personal growth, 2015, that was when I actually started this personal growth. And first of all, again, the potential, we all have potential, but we have what we call unfulfilled potential, right? And that keeps you sometimes in a mode of unrest. Like, you know, there's something more, but you don't know what it is. And so when I joined the John Maxwell team in 2016 November, I knew that I liked to connect with people, but I knew that I had, like, I couldn't speak up in public. Like, I couldn't speak even in my MBA class because I wasn't aware of my superpowers. I wasn't aware of my strengths. And so I just felt my voice was going to be dumb. It was going to be in the background, on the back burner. But as soon as I discovered I was intentional, I said, you know what? I just need to find out what is more for me on the inside. I know there's something I do not know. And, you know, I started this journey and I found out my superpowers, right? Which is, I'm a very outgoing person. I like to connect with people. I like to create space for other people to express themselves. And that was, for me, that was the light bulb moment. And I was grounded in that self-awareness. Again, I use the word grounded because, you know, storms would come, right? The things are going to blow against you. The circumstances are going to, you know, throw you off balance. But when you're grounded in knowing who you are, your identity, your superpower, then, you know, those things do not determine or do not define you, right? So when I knew what my potential was, in February this year, when I was told to leave Exxon, I wasn't too moved because I knew who I was. I knew the value I could bring to the world, right? So that's an example of, you know, understanding your superpowers. That keeps you grounded no matter the situation, the circumstances. With the COVID-19, I created programs for youth because I knew that, you know what, there are people out there that are not aware of the superpowers they have on the inside. And so when situations like COVID-19 comes, they're going to be thrown off balance. So I knew my superpower was to lead them on that journey of transformation. And so the client, one of the clients I had who was 15, I chose to call her Mary. Mary came in and she couldn't talk. Like she said, my parents told me to be here, but I don't know why I'm here, right? It was a four-week journey. And I smiled because I always liked that. At the end of 4 weeks, then we can measure, right? You know, the level of growth and transformation. So again, I took on this journey. We had the 15 laws of growth for youths. And she was willing, right, to open up to what's more out there. And then we created a vision board. And then she found, you know, her superpower. She knew she was analytical. She knew where she wanted to go. But she just needed to uncover and to discover more of that and just to validate that for herself. So she discovered her strength. She put it on a vision board. She showed her parents. And at the end of 4 weeks, you know, she gave word of mouth referrals to her friends. And now I have more youth clients. So it's helping them connect with their superpowers, right? Self-awareness of who they are. And then they are ready to run and to roll and to lead. They're ready to learn to live and to lead with that superpowers that they've discovered.
Throughout everything you're talking about, this word shine comes up and shining a light on the positives. And we kind of talked about it a little bit there, but how much of a challenge is it being a coach, a consultant, and being that positive light, given that it is quite a tough time right now for a lot of people? Do you find people are receptive to that positive approach or skeptical about it or something else?
I think that people are more open because remember that shine is light, right? And light, when light's comes and when light arrives, darkness has to flee. Light and darkness can never coexist. So when I bring light again, I like to speak to my, you know, I'm a person of faith. And so for me, that's one important, that's one of my core values. I call them the five F's, okay? So the five F's for me is my faith, is my family, my friends, family and friends, fitness, my finances, and what I call flourish. So flourish, you know, and it embodies fun and personal growth. Again, I like to talk about my five F's because that's kind of what keeps me again grounded. That's where I go back to when I see that things are not working. It's okay. Do I still have this all in place? If not, then what do I need to do differently? So when you look at the word shine, you know, first of all, my name, again, my personal, as a person of faith, everything is around shine. It's I come to you because you have an unfulfilled potential, which I kind of look at it as some level of darkness. And so when you bring the shine, when you bring that awareness, then your unfulfilled becomes fulfilled, right? You become brighter. You begin to live a life of significance. And so for me, shine is very important. That's one key thing I bring to my clients. My smile as well is part of my shine. So I'm always looking forward to work with new clients because that's the door opener for me. It's my shine and my smile. And then they begin to shine as well, right? And we make the world a better place when everybody brings their own shine.
If you had a motto for you or a catchphrase, what would it be? How would you describe yourself in one sentence?
In one sentence? Esther is shine. Okay. And I have an acronym for shine. It means stepping higher into newer expressions. Okay. And so that one word for me helps people understand in a nutshell who I am. It's every day I strive to step higher into newer expressions. And by doing that, I'm helping other people as well to shine brighter.
Thanks again to Esther Hepzibah for joining me on the podcast today. If you'd like to contact Esther, links to her social media and to her email are in the show notes, or you can reach her, and here is her email at growtoglowconsulting@gmail.com. You can also drop me an email at barry@rebootforward.com, and I will make sure that it gets passed on to Esther. Once again, thank you for listening, and until next time, let's reboot forward.